Okay, so in this last interview, Mayumi, let's focus on your new work, this beautiful, beautiful volume you've given me, Sarasvati's Gift, mm-hmm. you call it, which is really a sort of combination of autobiography with your artistic work, but also your plea for peace in the mm-hmm. world. Mm-hmm. But tell us a little bit about what your hopes for this wonderful work. What's your vision? Mm-hmm. What is it ideally you'd like to see? How would you like to see it breathe and enter the world?
It's unknown. Mm-hmm. Because, especially in America, everything is unknown.
Everything is unknown.
Yeah. And it's just amazing to me to be able to live in that time.
Right.
And my hope is to transform into the society not based on fear, but more love.
Right. Let help us understand when, first of all, who is Sarasvati?
Sarasvati is a goddess of creativity.
Goddess, and also you mentioned compassion.
Compassion.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is the gift?
Gift is the basically compassion and creativity.
In the world.
In the world, right. Yeah.
So clearly this is exactly what I'm talking about with Laughing Heart and Big Heart Intelligence. And so, in some sense, where do you see compassion and creativity? How do you see it flourishing? Where do you see the areas where it is most needed? How might it bring greater sense of peace in the world?
Mm-hmm. For the most, at this moment, our president.
Uh-huh.
Needs
more creativity and more,
no, more love.
More love. Ah, that's interesting.
I don't know. Just love him so that he can do for us.
That's quite a wonderful, wonderful statement, because we live in such highly polarized and politicized
right.
times. And what you're saying is that, as I understand it, putting aside value judgments about whether one supports this new president or hates this new president, what you're saying, no matter which, as I understand mm-hmm. you're saying, no matter which political pole or persuasion you come through, that if one could extend love to him, that in some sense he needs love desperately.
Right.
To help.
And then thank you for waking us up. So much.
An appreciation for waking us up.
Yeah.
Well, that's really, really interesting. You can actually see that, particularly since your Sarasvati's gift is really a gift not just for this country, but a gift for the whole world.
Especially my country, my own Japan.
And Japan as well, that is certainly beset with very serious problems.
Mm-hmm.
I have a major crazy person in North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So what you were saying, Mayumi, is in addition to President Trump, what we were talking about is moving to Japan. Japan itself today faces very serious challenges with North Korea and the head of North Korea, with the increasing tensions with China, with the fact that the Fukushima debacle has really not been solved,
mm-hmm.
That we live in such a state of vulnerability that the compassion and love and creativity that Sarasvati brings can have a particularly important relevance
mm-hmm.
to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So how does it manifest in the world? How do you see it? How can the gift be embodied in Japan today in its relations with the rest of the world? How do you see that happening? How does it happen? In other words, one can look at it as an abstraction, but it isn't an abstraction.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about the way you live that's
mm-hmm.
an abstraction.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much embodied.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you take this from a personal quest, where most of this interview has been,
mm-hmm.
to one that manifests at large problems. I mean, the question I'm asking you is actually the same question for Laughing Heart. How does it come into the world that becomes physically embodied so that it actually turns the wheel toward greater kindness and peace?
You know, almost in Japan, for instance, it's immovable. There's no change can happen. It feels like coagulated or something. Right. And so I have to really, really meditate and then come up with the action.
Right.
It really empowers, and I haven't been able to come up with
so
it.
So you're exploring that?
Yeah, I'm exploring.
How you can bring this
but
gift
I'm,
into
yeah,
the world.
Yeah, and then it has not been translated yet, and I haven't really set my mind who's going to publish in Japan and not.
Right.
And it probably, it has to come back to, like in Japan, as a renaissance of spirituality, that the country is so deeply embodied, yet not noticing it, not realizing it. So can we do that?
That's really fascinating. Really, what you're making several points at the same time, I think. The first is a sort of an assessment of the country that from which you came, Japan, which is of course deeply been part of my whole life and even my family's life, is one that seems to be caught in time, is what you're saying. That see, where if you think of it from the point of view of chi, that the chi is stagnated,
yeah,
it's caught.
Completely.
Yeah, and that it's caught. And what your hope is for your book, if one could find a way in which it could become not only translated into the right way in Japanese, but it could find its way to the hearts and minds of people in Japan, it might help to melt.
Yeah,
melt this tight, constricted thing, and give way to creative. Mm-hmm. You use the word renaissance. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. You use this word renaissance because I have in my earlier books spoken of the second renaissance.
Uh-huh.
And I think the world could be open to that. Of course, the first renaissance began in Italy, and it celebrated the past.
It's really the liveness.
It's the vitality, the liveness, right.
Yeah.
And it brings together in the second Renaissance, the importance of Asia, of Japan, and China, we could say, because the first Renaissance was very much celebrated beauty. It was involved with heart. Of course, you know, religion played an important role, the Catholic Church and so forth. Whereas the second Renaissance could, I do agree with you that heart, compassion and heart, as it connects to art, artistic expression, and the celebration of beauty, but connected also to the very serious problems that we have in the world, could be part of the forces of the river that would go into a second Renaissance. And what you're suggesting is that Japan might play really an important role in fostering this second Renaissance.
You know, I wrote the book, a little children's book, Random Kindness and Senseless Act of Beauty.
Right.
And it was translated, Kimama ni yasashiku, imi naku, utsukushiku ikiru.
Uh-huh.
And it was, we won a very special prize for environment and peace.
Right.
In the United States. And kimama ni yasashiku, imi naku, utsukushiku ikiru. Nihonjin, all Japanese people are just so diligent, working hard. But for what?
Yeah. And then suddenly dying, like from karoshi.
Right.
Right. Which is really a constricture of the heart.
Heart.
Energy, which then affects of stroke.
You know, like enjoy music and enjoy food, like going back to Edo period, you know.
Yeah.
That's what...
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So there is part of your book and part of your vision is to enable or to stimulate or to try to foster a second renaissance that has at least Japan as one of its important contributories. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's really, really a wonderful and really fresh idea. Mm. And more generally, how if somebody were to say they had a wand and you could ask you, what would you deeply want if you were to brush aside all assumptions of what is not possible and allow your heart and imagination to flourish completely within this Sarasvati's gift, what do you dream you'd like most to happen with this work?
Well, you get translated nicely and published in a way that the message will go to people and will have a aliveness again, like half-dead people, there.
That's really true. That's really wonderful. And I think what's really so special about your book is that you're bringing together not only a literary work, an autobiographical work, but an artistic work, that you're bringing your own art, your own talent. And then, of course, you have a social message. So you have three things happening at the same time in this in this book, which is really quite wonderful, which is really an epitome of your own contribution. And I'm hoping that perhaps this beginning set of interviews that we've had will interest people in your work, that will interest people in Laughing Heart, that will motivate them, encourage them, inspire them to develop and cultivate the qualities of Laughing Heart, to bring it out into the world in a way that best matches their own interests. One doesn't have, this is really a very much, I think we share the idea of 100 flowers or 1,000 or 1,000,000 flowers. There's no one path here. This is a celebration of life and vitality and exuberance in its manifold dimensions. And I really thank you, Mayumi, for just being Mayumi and your wonderful sense of life and your continuing commitment to bring your art and beauty into the world.
Thank you.